Amen. Amen. Guys, well, if you came a little bit later, my name is Richard. I serve as one of the pastors here at Bethel. So good to see you guys. It's so great to be here today. Somebody say amen to that. Glad to be anywhere today. Guys, I just wanted to thank you guys again for being here. Also, thanks to all the kids. All the kids, where are you guys at? Yay, there you guys. It's good to see you. Also let you know, because we have kids in the room, it is okay if they have to get up and move around. Also to let you know, we have coloring sheets, activity sheets in the lobby. The kids can be doing those while they're in service. And at the end, if they fill out the activity sheet, they will get some candy. Come on, candy. All right, so the big thing about that Jesus is Jesus loves children, doesn't he? It's like kids, we're going to talk about it at the very end of the message, but kids love Jesus, and it wasn't because he was passing out suckers either. He just kind of had this attraction where kids wanted to be around him. Matter of fact, we're going to talk about kids just for a second. The other day was a special day in our home. On July the 5th, our little girl celebrated her second birthday. I want to show you a picture of her. This is little Paige. Paige, that's our little sweet pea. Her birthday was on the 5th, had a great birthday. And like little kids' birthdays, there's often these themes around certain things. Maybe they like dinosaurs, maybe they like Transformers, maybe they like something. Where our little girl, she has somehow found out about something that I thought we had passed. It's kind of like coronavirus. I thought we were over it, and then it comes roaring back. Well, she's into Baby Shark. Anybody familiar with that? Yeah, so I got a little bit of the song. I want to play it for you. Come on now. Here we go, Pastor Ron. There we go. That, oh, there it is. Who remembers this song? Mommy Shark. The daddy part's coming up. That's my favorite. That's a song right there. We have literally played that probably hundreds of times. And for some, it just never gets old. For some. And the interesting thing about this is she got all these little baby shark things around the house. And so she got these little toys that are baby shark. And one of the things that was cool a few days after her birthday, and this is going to play into the rest of the message. And if you can just get this, what I'm about to tell you, this is going to pave the way for some huge theological thing that's about to happen. So after her birthday, she's playing one morning. She's our early riser. She likes to get up early in the morning, just like her daddy, bless his heart. And we get up at like 6:15, 6:30 in the morning. And she gets up, and I get her out of her crib, out of her bed thing. And she comes into the living room. She grabs her baby shark toys, and she gets down on the floor. And I'm sitting on the couch. She says, "Daddy, come. Sit." She's patting the ground. "Daddy, come. Sit. Ground." And she's inviting me into her world. She's inviting me. She's creating space. This is the thing. She's creating space for her father to sit on the ground to enter into her world because she values me. Now, here's the thing that's interesting about this. I found this on parents.com. This is primarily about dads, but it tells you the value that kids see in their parents. It says your time is precious both to you and your child. Your willingness to give your time to your child sends a message that you are important. A father who gives of himself implicitly communicates his love and respect for his child. If you, the person your child respects most in the world, believes that he is worthy of your undivided attention, your child, check this out, your child will bask in the sense of their own importance. Think about this. What it's saying is, as the daddy spends time with the child gets value. Now, it's interesting. We find this out naturally, but spiritually, this avoids us sometimes. I'm going to give you more, even a deeper thought about this. There's a guy named James Dobson. It's been around for a while. He referred to this study that happened not too long ago. He said a team of researchers wanted to find out how much time middle-class fathers were spending time with their young children. And so they asked all these dads, how much time of the day do you spend playing and interacting with your one-year-old child? And these dads said, well, between 15 and 20 minutes a day. They thought that was pretty good. That's not much time, but they thought it was pretty good. So these researchers wanted to verify. They wanted to find out what is the truth. And so they put a microphone on these one-year-old kids' shirts, and they monitored it all day. Now the results are shocking. Everybody say shocking. Check this out. The average amount of time that these middle-class fathers spent with their small children was 37 seconds a day. 37 seconds a day. They said it was about two different to three different interactions of about 10 to 15 seconds each for the entire day. And we wonder sometimes while these kids are craving attention. We wonder sometimes. Now, it's like we understand that naturally, but spiritually is where I'm going here. That sometimes without the Father's presence, it causes issues. Can somebody say amen? See, today we're talking about something that's fundamental and foundational to your walk with God. If you don't have this, you don't have a relationship. We're talking about prayer. Prayer is simply the communication that we as God's children have with the Father. Now, most of us have probably heard that prayer is powerful. Anybody ever heard that? Prayer is a powerful thing, y'all. Look at this. In James chapter 5, we got a lot of scripture for you today. So if you didn't do your Bible study this week, we're getting it all in right now. James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. Think about this. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. Here's another one. This is Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who receives, we like that. We like to receive, don't we? Everyone who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. So we know that prayer is powerful. It opens up doors. You find what you're looking for. You ask and you receive. This is the last one in John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Check this out. It says that this is the confidence that we have in approaching God. This is what prayer is. It is approaching God in prayer. It says that if we ask anything. Everybody say anything. If we ask anything according to His will, this is powerful. He hears us. Now think about this for a second. We know who God is. He made the universe. He made the planets, the stars, the solar system. He made the world and everything in it. We know it all belongs to Him. He is huge. And we are very small, but He hears us. Isn't that interesting? No matter how big and how busy you think God is, He hears you. So we're going to talk about prayer just for a bit. What is prayer? Prayer is simply communicating with God. Prayer doesn't always look like you asking God for stuff. We like to ask God for stuff. Just like a child likes to ask their parents for stuff again and again and again. Somebody say amen. But here it is. Prayer is not getting what you want. Okay. Anybody ever seen the movie Aladdin on Disney? Will Smith. Love that brother. Okay. God is not Will Smith in blue skin. He doesn't just sit around waiting to get rubbed and perform what you want. That is not who God is. Prayer is about God changing you and not you convincing him of what you need. This might rub you a little bit the wrong way. It also means that prayer is not just words spoken, but it's the atmosphere that is created. See, in time, when we read the Bible, we find out that prayer is not just the utterance. It's not just the words that we say. It's the atmosphere that is created around communicating with the God of the universe. A lot of times when you see people praying, specifically in the New Testament, you see that they went to the synagogue, or you see Jesus. It says in Luke chapter 6, for example, verse 12, it was in those days came to pass when Jesus went out to the mountain to pray. Sometimes not just the words that you say, but it's the atmosphere that is created where you get away from the busyness of your life and you calm your life down by entering into a realm of prayer with a holy God. Think about my little two-year-old. Think about what she did. She invited the Father into her world. No matter what she was doing, no matter what she thought I was doing. As a parent, I'm busy, but she didn't care about my schedule. She said, Daddy, come, sit. When's the last time you asked God to come and sit and have communion, fellowship, time with you? When was the last time you created space and a place for him? See, we live in a crazy world. Somebody say amen. We don't know what's going to happen next week or next month. We don't even know what the school year is going to look like. We don't know what this pandemic is going to do. We don't know if race wars are going to pop up in cities around the country again. We have no clue. And so because of that, we need a constant. If you're not familiar with a constant is something in our life that does not change. Something that's always going to remain the same. And if you look for it in this world, you will not find it. That's why I'm so thankful that God, the God of the Bible, says in the book of Malachi, "For I am the Lord and I do not change." See, when everything around you is crazy, you need something to remain still so that you can focus your attention on it. Because if you look at everything that's moving around you, you're going to get dizzy. Tell you what, if you look at the news, you're going to get dizzy. I thought we weren't supposed to wear a mask, and now we are. I thought I could go to Nashville, and now I can't. I thought Disney World, surely Disney, was going to give us hope, and now we got to have social distancing at Disney. Who knew that the world was going to look like this? And if we try to make sense of it in of ourselves, we're going to be left dizzy with how fast the world is changing around us. We need a constant. We need to create a place and a space for God. We need to say, Daddy, come, sit. We need to have a time when we can just say, God, my world's crazy. I need you. But there's reasons why we don't pray, and we're going to get to that in just a second. First, we're going to answer the question, how does God answer prayer? How does God answer prayer? This is pretty easy. This is three little things. How does God answer prayer? He says yes, he says no, and he says not yet. Now, we love it when he says yes, don't we? We say, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? Yes. Oh, thank you, Lord. Everything is right with the world when he says yes. Everybody say amen. Lord, can I have the promotion? Lord, can I have a spouse? Lord, can I have a child? Everything is right with the world. Sometimes he says not yet. We don't like that kind of God, do we? We like the God who answers all our prayers in 30 minutes or less plus commercials, because that's the way we live our world. We don't like it when he says not yet, because not yet to God could mean 10 weeks or 10 years or right before you die. Lord, I've been praying for reconciliation with my family. And it's been 6 months, it's been 6 years, it's been 2 decades, and it still hasn't happened. Sometimes God says, not right now. And the problem with prayer sometimes is we forget an important aspect about God is that He is patient. Oh, is He patient? You can ask God for something right now, and you may not see the answer to that thing for a long, long time. Now, the last way that God answers prayer, we don't like this either. Sometimes we can pray and we communicate. First of all, prayer is not always asking God for stuff. Sometimes it's you talking to God. Sometimes it's you being quiet and trying to hear Him. But sometimes we pray and we ask God for something, and sometimes He says no. Anybody ever felt like God told you no? Sometimes He says no because we ask for foolish things. My son would ask me for a cannon and a buck knife and a machine gun. And he's clapping. And what do you think I'm going to say? No. He doesn't need it. It's not right for him. And sometimes God gets questions asked to Him, and sometimes He has to say no. And if we don't understand that God is for us and not against us, we can get mad. And sometimes we even think that God doesn't answer our prayers. Anybody ever heard of Garth Brooks? Any country fans out there? Well, you're in Tennessee, you gotta like country. Garth Brooks had a song called Unanswered Prayer. Anybody ever heard of that one? This is kind of what it goes like. I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to read it to you. He says, sometimes, no, you don't, we can't do that. I lose my brotherhood card if I start singing country. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs that just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care, because some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Anybody ever heard that? I don't believe that. You may disagree with me. I don't believe, as a believer in Jesus Christ, that God doesn't answer my prayers. I do believe we don't like the answer, but He always answers. See, an answer is simply a response. We may not like His answer, so we think He didn't answer, but He's still responding to us. Can somebody say amen? I just wanted you to think about this for a second. His response to your prayer is His answer to your prayer. So if you prayed and prayed and prayed and it did not happen, just simply believe that that's God's answer. Either it's no or not yet. Either way, I need to accept it or I just need to have patience. Either way, that is His answer to the prayer. Somebody say amen to that. It's hard, though, to accept that. Did you know that doing what you want is not God answering prayers? That is obeying someone's commands. Prayer is not and should not and ought not look like us commanding a holy God. God knows the motivation of our hearts, and He knows not only what we ask, but why we are asking. Did you know that? See, the world may not know why you do what you do. You can do some pretty godly things for an ungodly motivation. Did you know that? You can give a whole lot of money for the wrong reason. You can help out a whole lot of old ladies cross the street for the wrong reason. You can help a whole lot of orphans for the wrong reason. It might simply be to please your own self. Somebody say amen. But God sees your hearts. There's also several reasons why we don't pray. Anybody ever known somebody that doesn't pray? Sometimes we don't pray. One of the top four reasons why we don't pray is because we think we have been so bad that God wouldn't hear me or answer my prayers because I've been bad this week, so I'm not going to pray this week. Anybody ever heard that or felt that way? Or I've been really good. I have knocked this God thing out of the park. I've been really good today. So God surely has to answer me. I am his promised child. I am blessed. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed going in and blessed coming out. So surely he's got to answer my prayer. Maybe not those godless heathens on that side of the church, but surely me. So what happens with this is sometimes people think I've done the wrong thing and God can't answer me. Here's the thing about that. Maybe you felt that way before. I just want to give you some simple theology that God loves you no matter what you do. And that if you have done wrong and you have lived wrong, Jesus is the answer for that. Did you know that Jesus loves you? For the Bible tells you so, right? Come on. Good. He remembered that. She remembered that. All right. Jesus loves you. That's the reason why he came, to forgive you of all the bad that you have done. So if you feel like there's no way God can forgive me, I've done too much wrong, you are mistaken. He steps into our world. He dies on a cross because of our bad, because we couldn't do enough, because we couldn't live up to a holy standard. So that is no longer an excuse why we should not pray. But there is other reasons why we don't pray. Sometimes we don't pray because we feel like God didn't answer my prayer before in the past. Maybe I was young and I prayed that God would save my marriage, or grandpa or grandma would be healed, but they ended up dying. And maybe that means God just doesn't care, so I'm going to stop praying. We kind of covered this, but just because God doesn't respond the way that you want him to doesn't mean that we should stop praying. Sometimes when we were little, our parents did not always respond the way that we wanted them to, did they? But they were not God. See, sometimes we equate the way we grew up to who God is. And if things don't go the way we want to, we equate that as someone doesn't care or someone doesn't love us. That is not who God is. If God didn't answer your prayer the way you wanted him to, then maybe you need to expand the way you see God and start including the fact that maybe God did not want that for me. Somebody say amen to that. Another reason why we don't pray is sometimes we just don't believe. There are people that just simply don't believe that prayer works, that there is a God, so therefore they don't do it. You know what? To be honest, that is one of the most honest and practical reasons why someone does not pray. But the problem that I have with that answer is simply this. When you begin to believe that way, it is a slippery slope for losing hope. And it puts all of the weight of the problems of the world on yourself or on the rest of humanity to act right. You would also have to discredit all of the Bible and discredit the billions of answered prayers from believers all around the world and throughout time. One of the last reasons why people just don't pray is they just feel like they don't know how to pray. The good news for that is in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us an outline for how we should pray. Matter of fact, the only time we see in the Bible where God does not answer prayer is for the person who does not want God in their life. The person who is rebellious, who is not seeking a heart of change, we see it in Psalm 18, verse 41. This is when the wicked person begins to shout out. It says, they cried for help, but there was none to save. They cried out to the Lord, but he did not answer them. It's because their hearts were not to change and turn towards God, but to simply be relieved of the consequences of their own godless ways. You know, as we sit here, we're talking about prayer. I want to pray for you today, and I want you to see prayer in a new light. Because of the world that we live in, we know that life is different. We have never, I believe, needed God and the ability to pray to him than we ever have before. And the fundamental way that I want to see prayer change in you and even in myself is to simply see what my little daughter at 2 years old. It's funny how a little child can teach you something so profound. A little child can teach you something so complex that people take Bible classes on how to pray, and a two-year-old can teach us in 2 seconds. Daddy, come, sit. I want the image of that to permeate into our minds that when we are living out our life, think about when is the last time you told our Heavenly Father, come, ride with me in the car today. Come with me, Lord, into the office today. Come sit beside me, Lord, today. I got a big decision today, Lord. Come. Come with me, Lord. Have your way in my life today. Come, sit, Daddy, ground. I just want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much. We pray for a fundamental shift in our prayer lives. We believe, God, that you are the source of hope, the source of joy, the source of peace in our life and in our world. Nothing can replace you. We get so busy.